Okay, good afternoon. We are online and recording. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. It is 1:30 p.m., Wednesday, November 23rd, 2011. We have an informal hearing that's scheduled for this afternoon. There is just one item on the agenda. It is IKC1, case number PU-11-66, Bearpaw Energy, LLC, Garden Creek to Riverview NGL Pipeline, McKenzie Siting application, and these are some revisions to a previously cited line. With that, I just welcome everyone today. For the record, this is Tony Clark.
Kevin Kramer, welcome.
Brian Culk, welcome. Thanks for coming down.
Why don't we have folks from our staff and council identify themselves from the record, and then we'll turn it over to the applicant from there.
Matt Sagsveen, Assistant Attorney General.
Chris Merle, Commission staff.
And here from Bearpaw?
John Morrison, representing 10.
Oh, why don't we make sure, John, we need to have your mic on for our record. Yeah.
Okay. John Morrison, P.O. Box 2798, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing on behalf of 10, formerly known as Bearpaw.
Bill McCarthy, E3 Environmental, from 817 Vandalia, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Len Williamson, do you need my address?
We don't need address.
Okay.
Just identify yourself for the
record. I'm project coordinator for 10.
Very good. And we also have in the room today, though not at the table, Patrick Fahn. Are you going to be joining us at the table? Okay. And Mark Grumman, legal counsel. With that, Kevin, it's in your portfolio. I don't know if you want to kick it off with anything.
Yeah, not a lot. I guess, as you stated earlier, it's a line we previously cited. I think it's probably... we're looking forward to having the Garden Creek plant running, which I think is probably going to happen very soon if it hasn't already. And, of course, we need to get the line completely done. So the revisions seem pretty minor. I followed the back-and-forth trail a little bit. Appreciated the quick response and the thorough responses to the questions of staff. And so with that, I think, John, you guys just want to sort of take it away and build the record so we can.
Okay. As you've indicated, it's a minor realignment of the route. We intend to present one witness. I don't know if you want him under oath today.
We don't require it under for an informal. It's not under oath or uncontested,
right.
So we just need a record, Bill.
We would like to mark three new exhibits, put in the record, and I've already got them pre-marked as exhibits 7, 8, and 9. You've seen them all. 7 is the application for the amended permit. 8 is the email from the Forest Service, which indicates they have no objection to it. And then 9 would be the responses to the 4 questions that staff had asked. And maybe if we could just have those. And I don't know who's keeping the record. Chris, are you or Matt? Or?
Always give it to the attorney.
Yeah.
Make them good for something.
Speak for yourself.
I could shuffle paper with the best of them. And... maybe I'll just turn it over to Bill. And, Bill, maybe let's turn to in what we've marked as Exhibit 7, which is the application, the amended application. Maybe the easiest thing is to go to the appendices and go to the first map in the appendix and just kind of describe what the realignment is and why we're here today and what we're asking for.
Very good. In Appendix A, we have a sheet of our alignment sheet. It's the affected section of the overall project. And circled in red and highlighted is the area that we're here discussing. You'll see that the original route deviated a little bit south and to the west before it realigned itself with an existing utility corridor. When we sited the original pipeline, we evaluated both options, and it was decided initially during our siting that that was perhaps a little more favorable crossing, just the mechanics of construction primarily. Our normal process would be to negotiate an easement with the landowner and identify where that crossing would be. Everybody would agree, and then on a landowner-by-landowner basis, a track-by-track basis, any kind of negotiated agreements would be transferred from the right-of-way department to the construction department, and it would all be understood. In this particular instance, this landowner has several tracts of land, and it's unclear when we went back through where the omission here occurred, whether it was an omission on One Oak's part of not clearly identifying what our proposed alignment was, or if the landowner, because there were multiple easements involved, may have lost track of this one. But as we were beginning to go into construction at this location staking the line, et cetera, it became evident to the landowner that our proposed alignment that had been certificated was not what he had expected. And so in order to satisfy that landowner and to keep things moving forward, we went back, restudied, and found that we could construct in that existing corridor, minimize environmental impacts, and satisfy the landowner. And in fact, there are two landowners involved, a private party and 300 feet of Forest Service land. And the Forest Service aspect has been reviewed and approved, and we do have a document that we could enter into the record, a correspondence from the Forest Service approving this minor deviation.
In fact, the Forest Service actually prefers going back to the...
Well, I was interested in that. No, it would make some sense, of course. It minimizes the footprint, really, basically, and makes it half of what it would be.
Yep. And it's consistent with siting policy to try to co-locate where you can. So.
Well, actually, remember that at the hearing itself, that little, you know, where it kind of separated a little bit in the explanation. But this makes perfect sense.
Yep. And so in preparation... because it fell outside of our surveyed footprint, we went ahead and commissioned environmental surveys of the route consistent with our other surveys. We did natural resource surveys for biological resources, threatened endangered species, wetlands, water bodies. We did a tree inventory. There is a water body that will be crossed. It's the same water body we would have crossed with the original route. We're going to cross it with a low-impact HDD as well. So the impacts of those resources are no different. We did also commission a cultural resource survey, did a Class 3 inventory. The Class 1, original Class 1 inventory covered this. The Class 3 then was commissioned to do the 250-foot corridor centered over the proposed realignment. There were two isolated finds discovered during this Class 3 inventory that were found to be non-eligible, and our report was submitted to the SHPO office, and they concurred essentially no effect for this proposed reroute.
I think if you look at the Class 3 that's in the Exhibit 7, it also talks about a second reroute. Just to clarify the record, can you maybe just briefly describe what that is and confirm that it's not being used?
Correct. There was a, in the report that's included in Appendix E, there was a second reroute that was contemplated, and we did our environmental surveys of that reroute, but we dropped that option and decided not to pursue it. We're sticking with the certificated alignment at that location, so that's no longer being considered.
And with the exception of crossing Forest Service land, as did the original route, this reroute has no impact on any of the exclusion or avoidance areas of the commission. Is that
correct? That's correct.
And with that, that pretty much completes what we'd like to get in the record, and we'd have people available to ask. Oh, let me ask one other thing. Bill, do you want to talk about the status of construction and when we'd like the order on this?
Well, I was going to ask. That was my first question.
Right.
2:30.
Certainly, we would appreciate the authorization to move forward as soon as possible. We have constructed all of Spread 2 and all of Spread 3, with the exception of this portion. As approval is received, then we will fabricate, install our crossing, tie the two together, and we'll be able to begin commissioning then. So this is a vital piece to continue with construction.
How close are you? Is the plant to being able to be commissioned?
I believe commissioning is scheduled to start in a couple of weeks in early December.
Okay. I thought it must be any day now. Okay. Well, we had a commission meeting today.
I'm fine scheduling a special whenever. It'll be a few
I was just thinking
next regular
Monday.
Oh, yeah, we have meetings Monday anyway.
We got Monday at 1:30 some work session. We could do it right before then. We find
are you guys going
to
work?
Wait until the there is a notice of opportunity for hearing that I think goes.
Oh, that is
December 2nd.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I guess what we were contemplating was as soon as that day runs, I mean, then if we could have them. Right. I think it's December 2nd is
the Friday. The Friday. It's quite open for me. Hmm. But it's the close of business. I mean, is it a mission-critical thing that you're able to start over the weekend? Or because we have done that before. At 5:01, we'll do a special commission meeting. If the plows are in the field idling, we'll...
Every minute would be appreciated.
And that's fine with me. I mean, I can... Or Monday, anyway.
I'm traveling Friday, but I can call in, or it doesn't matter. Because we did this before.
Yeah, right, yeah.
We've done meetings where the three of us call in.
Yeah, we have. So, like, at 5:01 Friday, we could do it, and we'd be totally legal.
Fine.
And you can make those poor guys work all weekend, if that's what...
As long as the weather holds, might as well keep folks busy.
That'd be greatly appreciated.
No, that's fine. That's
subject to our legal review.
I probably won't be here either, but I don't think you need me necessarily to be here.
No.
Staff just has to be in a position where you've got the paperwork and order ready to go.
Yeah.
And we would submit a proposal order. We'd have that in by next Monday, where staff would have plenty of time. And we'll keep it very short, obviously. It doesn't have to have a lot of details.
Okay. I only had one question, actually. When you go back to the agencies, are they able to, I mean, how do they review that? Are they able to keep up with what, I mean, they got so much going on right now in review, it seems like, when you go back with changes, I mean, are you sensing that they got enough people to do all this stuff? Or they're not slowing down at all, it appears like.
Specifically with the Forest Service, Kim Grody, our point of contact who coordinates the pipeline siting, he does go out, and part of his responsibility is to inspect the construction and activities. And the gentleman does have a very full plate, that's for sure, but has been able to prioritize and manage his workload to keep up with this request. He was very familiar with this project because it did go through an EA. Right. Yep. It was a very formal review process, so he's intimately aware and been able to keep up.
Well, and this, its proximity in an existing corridor is, I would think, pretty helpful to him.
Right.
I've heard more horror stories from Greenfield Forest. I mean, I've been hearing some pretty tough ones.
Yeah. Matt?
Mr. McCarthy, I just want to make sure the record is clear. Did you prepare exhibit number 9?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I think that the relatively new tradition with informals, as per Alana's orders, is to make sure everything is, in fact, offered, and it has been. So there's nothing else other than the testimony itself. Okay. Good.
Okay. Anything else from applicant One Oak?
From us?
No. Anything else from staff or commission? Hearing none, my mom just showed up, so Carol Clark, she's in the record now. All right. With that, thanks, everybody. And it's not the most convenient time to meet, the afternoon before Thanksgiving, but we appreciate you coming in and doing the informal.
We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We have a good holiday weekend.
Thanks.
Yeah.